in your Bibles over to the book of Ephesians and chapter number 4. In your bulletins that you have out there before you, you should see our text, some part of it anyway, of our text in these bulletins. I have, throughout this year, taken advantage of the special days that we've had, whether it was Mother's Day, Father's Day, to preach a sermon along that lines, and today will not be any different. I don't know what next year may hold. I don't know if we'll be here next year, but if we are, I don't know that that we'll address each holiday in the same way. But today's Pastor Appreciation Day, and certainly I'm thankful. You all have been good to us and generous to us, and I'm thankful for that. Thankful for you. But I do want to take this day and speak on the subject of the purpose of the pastor. The purpose of the pastor. I've been preaching now for about 15 years. I've been serving as a pastor in one of the Lord's churches for about 5 years, and I don't pretend to know everything there is. I don't. It would be naive of me, if not downright boastful, to try to pretend that I know everything there is about pastoring. I don't. I'm still learning some things, and don't pretend to know it all, but God's Word does have a few things to say about it, and that's what I'm interested in studying together this morning, the purpose of the pastor. Ephesians chapter 4, we begin reading with verse number 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And then in verse 12 he tells why he did that. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This morning, as we study this and talk about this subject, the purpose of the pastor, it is curious to me what some people consider to be the job and or the responsibilities of the pastor. And I believe that expectations of the pastor range from church to church, and that culture and society has undoubtedly, don't try to say it hasn't, it has. Culture and society has placed certain expectations upon the ministry which, when scrutinized, are at best extra-scriptural, if not anti-scriptural. If you were to ask 25 church members to give a summation of what their pastor's duties were, it would be interesting to hear what their replies would be. But I would say also, if you were to ask 25 pastors what their duties were, it would also be interesting what they might suggest that their responsibilities are. And I am afraid that in the day and age in which we live, that the average pastor, I understand I'm going to say some things, and today as I preach, you're going to think he's all about himself. If that's what you get out of it, then I'm not doing something right, or you're not doing something right. It's about what God's Word has to say about this. But I am concerned that the average pastor has within his being a greater concern about what the people think his job is rather than what the Bible determines his responsibilities to be. There are too many hirelings that have flooded the pulpits of America and have succumbed to extra-biblical and or anti-biblical demands on their time rather than what God's Word declares that their job or their responsibility is. And dear friends, if you and I are not careful, and I mean you and I mean that, if you and I are not careful, we allow society rather than Scripture to declare the purpose of the pastor. Would you agree with me this morning? Would you consent this morning that we as a nation, now more than ever, need men of God who take seriously the calling of God and who will faithfully declare the Word of God to the people of God? I believe if there ever was a time and an age in which America needed that, it's today, the day and age in which we live.
Amen.
Far too many pastors today spend more time running to and forth to the church members' ball games and recitals rather than praying for God to save their little souls. They're organizing these, and I like this word, these hirelings. They are busy organizing fundraisers and running from social event to social event rather than preparing to preach to dying souls. And I will say this, no one could rightly question, I don't believe none of you would dare question my love for you. I love you. No bones about it. I love you. I love you, everyone. But if it comes a day that when you would prefer me to be at your daughter's birthday party than sitting in this office back here praying and begging for God to save her soul, then something's wrong.
That's right.
And I'm afraid that we've allowed society to infiltrate our minds and have declared unto us what we think the pastor, the job of the pastor is, rather than turning to God's Word and allowing God's Word to determine what the responsibility or the purpose of the pastor is. We need to return to the Bible, a return to Bible ways. And that includes our expectations of those to whom God has called to the ministry. God's Word plainly tells us in this text. You know, I make the mistake of trying to preach the text. It's a mistake that preachers rarely make anymore, trying to actually preach the text. But God's Word tells us in this text why He gave pastors to His people. He tells what their duty is. It is listed here, it is listed in other places. But I'm interested in this morning trying to clarify a few things of what the purpose of the pastor is. Can I take just a moment or two to dismiss some things? Could we take a moment or two this morning? I feel like I'm alone this morning. Can I take a moment or two to just don't be afraid of what I'm going to say. Can we dismiss a few things this morning? Let's dismiss a few things that is not the pastor's job. And you're going to think he's being mean. I'm not being mean. Y'all ought to know me well enough by now. No, I'm too sweet to be mean. But let me say this. It's not my job to please all the people.
Amen.
I have long since reconciled the fact that you cannot please all the people all the time. There are some people. Can I give you one of my daddy's favorite sayings?
Yeah.
He used to say there's some people that would kick if you hung them with a new rope. And that's just how it is. You're not going to please all the people all the time. God didn't call me to please the saints. He called me to preach to them.
Amen.
He called me to pray for them and to intercede in their behalf. I'm not up here preaching and I do not intend to make enemies and I'm not trying to offend anybody. But I know just as sure as we do anything, not everybody's going to be happy. And I love you, but I'm not going to stay up all night worrying about whether or not you're happy about every decision that we make. I cannot and I won't do it.
Amen.
Some people, just don't matter, they're going to gripe. That's just how it is. But, yeah, that's how it is. It's not my job to please all the people. And I'm not saying these things because I think we got a problem. I just want to cut some things off. We still here pretty early on in our minister here, but it's not the pastor's job to get out here and paint the walls and mop the floor.
Amen, brother.
I know, I get one amen from preacher. None of the rest of you going, that's all right. It's not the pastor's responsibility to take care of the physical needs of the building.
Amen.
I've done it. Now listen to me. I've mowed the lawn. I've swept the floors. I've cleaned the toilets. I've done all those things. And if need be, I'll do them again, but it'll be because the need's there.
Amen.
As long as there are able-bodied men and women in here, then somebody else should be doing the work.
Amen.
And I'm not afraid of work. Year before last, I pastored a church. I worked at a post office, and I worked a third job to try to make ends meet. I'm not afraid of work. But God didn't call me over here to clean the toilets. That's not what I'm in Middle Georgia for. God called me to come down here and preach the Word. That's the purpose of the pastor.
Amen, brother.
Well, if I stand up here by myself, I'll stand by myself. Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Anybody interested in that? Let me read it to you. It said, it's not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables.
Amen.
Listen, if you have a need, a physical need, that's why God put deacons in the church. They are responsible for the physical needs of the members and the physical needs of this body. If you have a need and I can help you, call me. But if you need your gutters clean, call somebody else. That's not my calling. My calling is to preach to you, to pray for you. Many people, how many of you have heard throughout all of your life that the office of the pastor of a New Testament church is the highest calling in the world? I've heard that all of my life. Growing up, I've heard that's the highest calling in this world. Higher than that of the president.
Amen.
Amen. Now, how many people would go say, "Mr. President, we're going to have to get you out of situation room. There's a light bulb out in the rose room." Now, listen, what goes on over here in this office is more important than the situation room. Now, I'm not up here bragging about me, but I'm going to tell you what takes place in this bullpit is more important.
Amen.
I believe the preaching of the Word of God is probably one of the most important things that ever happens.
Amen.
It's not meet that I should leave off the Word of God and the study of that and serve tables and you fill that in, however it is. If that office is so important, let us all, including me, treat it with that measure of respect.
Amen.
I'm going to go ahead while y'all sitting there like a calf at a new gate. Let me go ahead and say it. Little old Landon, little old six-year-old boy. We're up at Bible camp, and he's laying there with his little head on my arm, and we're just talking. And when he talked to me, you know what he said, Brother Kiger. He addressed me as Brother Kiger. Somebody taught that little boy some respect for the man of God.
Amen.
You know, respect is earned, and I agree with that, but the office demands some respect. You know, people used to think I was crazy, but you know what I called my father when he was my pastor? I called him Pastor. Is anything wrong with calling you Pastor? Pastor? All right, let me go on, because I ain't quite dug a deep enough hole. It's not my job to please all the people. It's not my job to paint the walls. It's not my job to police the pews. It's not my job to police the pews.
Right. Amen.
Let me go ahead and tell you, it's not your job either. Can you tell me when it became the responsibility of sheep to shepherd sheep? Or is it the responsibility of the shepherd to shepherd the sheep? And I realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, but He's called me here as the under-shepherd.
Amen.
And it is the under-shepherd's responsibility to shepherd the sheep. But I'm not going to drive the sheep. I'm not going to police the pews. And if you've got any good sense about you won't either. I remember, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I remember a couple of years ago listening to a church member rant and rave about the unfaithfulness of other members, going on about their church attendance, about their tithing, about them not helping with things around the building. Till his man ultimately said, "Well, Brother Lewis, something has just got to be said to these people." And I said, "No, it really doesn't. But if and when it is said, it'll come from the pastor and not you."
Amen.
Is that clear and loud enough? I can get loud. It'll come from the pastor, the pulpit, and not the pew. None of you have the responsibility of policing the sheep. It's the pastor's responsibility to teach them, to feed them. But now listen, I'm not going to stand on your front porch and peek in your windows. It's not my job. My job is to preach. The Spirit of God knows how to deal with the children of God.
Amen.
People get the idea that I'm supposed to run around here and chase church members. That's not my job.
Amen.
They know where we are and when we're here. I guess people think, well, preacher, you need to get out here and strong-arm them. I'm not interested in strong-arming people. You listen to me. I'm not. You want to take something home today? Y'all might fire me. It'd be my first and last pastor appreciation. Coercion is not conviction.
No, that's right, brother.
You listening to me? Domination and intimidation is not motivation.
Amen.
You want people to be faithful, pray for them.
Amen.
Stop policing them. I believe the Spirit of God still knows how to get a hold of the heart of His children.
Amen.
And speak to them. I want people tithing out of fear. I don't want them showing up to church out of obligation. I want them to do what's right because they want to do what's right.
Amen.
And we don't do that by forcing them. We do that by praying for them and preaching the Word of God and presenting Christ in all of His beauty.
Amen.
And the love of Christ will constrain them. And that's what motivates people. When something needs to be said, it'll come from the pulpit. And I find that the Bible only allows that there is one person. I'm not talking about God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit, but I'm talking about on the human end of it, that the Bible only allows that there's one person who's to take the leadership role within the church, and it's the pastor.
Amen.
To oversee. There's some Bible language for you. To lead, direct, to serve as a bishop, an elder. To pastor, and the word pastor in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it just simply means to tend to a flock.
Amen.
That's all that the word means. So what is the purpose of the pastor? It is to pastor. It is to tend to the flock.
Amen.
And that should be his primary goal, his primary purpose. And that's what I want to do here full time.
Amen.
Listen, if I can help you in any way, call me. If I can help you in any, I mean it, call me. Don't hesitate to call me. You'll hurt my feelings if you don't. If you need me, call me. But if you're looking for a sports agent or a talent agent for your child, call someone else. I'm not here to be your best buddy. I'm here to be your pastor. Now, having said what it's not, let's take a few minutes to say what I believe the Bible says it is. I got all the ugly stuff out of the way. Now everybody shout amen and we'll go on. There are many and varied opinions of what the pastor should and should not do. And let's look at the Bible and see what the Bible has. Anybody interested in what the Bible has to say
amen.
About what the pastor's job is? And I'm going to say this for those of you like an alliterated outline is pray to preach to prepare the pastor. To pray to preach to prepare you and the pastor.
Amen.
Who gave pastors? Now let's... And He, God, verse 11, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Who gave pastors?
Amen.
It was God that did that because He knew His sheep would need under-shepherds. He knew them. Listen, we're all sheep. Those that are born by the Spirit of God, we are God's sheep. And we need a pastor. Go out there on the way out of here today and pick up those little brown bulletins, those different publications that we get, and look on the back page of them, and it'll say over and over again, it'll say, this church and such is in need of a pastor. This church and such is in need of a pastor. Over and over again, you see it. It is there. Look at our churches around us. They're in need of pastors. And God said, I've given you Memorial Heights Baptist Church. I've given you a pastor. What for?
Amen.
And then here He'll tell you what for. We are, and He tells us in verse 1, walk worthy of this vocation. Tells us how, with lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing, endeavoring. And then He goes on to these ones in verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. But then He says, here's why I gave them. verse 12. Look, verse 12. Why did he give them, number one? For the perfecting of the saints.
Amen.
Now that word perfecting here, I'm interested in that word. If the idea, if you have in the mind that, you know, it's the pastor's job to make me perfect, well, you're wrong. The pastor can't make himself perfect, let alone make you perfect.
Right.
But that word perfecting, in its root word, means to mend. You realize that as a matter of fact, it's the same root word that is used when it said that Peter was sitting in the boat mending his nets, his fishing nets. That's the same root word. That word perfect means to mature. It means to grow up. And in this case, it means to mend. And I believe through the preaching, through the praying, and through the preparing of God's saints, there should be some mending involved in that. Some bringing back together. May God lay it upon the heart of each one of us, and then upon me as I try to prepare to preach, that God would give me messages that serve to mend God's saints. You see, I know you. I know you to some extent. But I don't know everything you face. I don't know everything that's going on in your life. But God does. Amen? God knows what's going on. And I believe that God knows how to direct my heart to lay a message on me that will help mend you.
Amen.
Have you ever been mended in the church service? I hope God, the Holy Spirit, has come through and did a little healing in your heart through the preaching of the Word of God. That's the purpose of the pastor. To mend. The pastor's to be in the mending business. Praying, preaching, teaching, beseeching men and women that they would right themselves with God. And then it says also to minister. To minister to the saints. This ministry has many different aspects. Every little sheep's different. I look around here, every little sheep is different. The needs of every little sheep is different. The likes, dislikes of every little sheep is different. And only God, the Holy Spirit, can give me a message that will suit each of the sheep's likes and dislikes. I can't do that. I can't prepare a message that'll be good for you and you and you and you. I can't do that by myself. It takes the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's why it's so important that a pastor spend as much time as he can in preparing to present God's Word. That God would burden him with a message that will minister to you. It takes time, and we've not reached that yet, but it takes time to learn the sheep and know what the sheep's needs are. But may God, the Holy Spirit, infiltrate the heart and the mind of the pastor that he may burden him, that he may be a help to the sheep. I want to be a help to you. He says, thirdly, it's not only the job to mend, to minister, but to edify. If you're interested in verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That word edify means to build up. You know, any bully with a sledgehammer can tear down. What's easier, tearing down a wall or building one? It's easy to tear it down. It takes a little bit of art, craft, and some time to build. It should be the desire, and I pray that it is and that it will grow. It should be the desire of each member here and of the pastor that we edify one another.
Amen.
That the preaching of the Word would edify you, would build you up. I'm not talking about pumping up your thoughts of yourself. And I'm not talking about feeding self-esteem. But I'm talking about edifying you in Christ. Building you up in Him. Verse 13 talks about unity. Till we all come into unity of the faith. No one will ever know the hours spent in prayer of God's ministers begging for unity within a church family.
Amen.
I don't know of anything that's more destructive to a church than a lack of unity. And I don't know of anything that's a greater blessing to a church than unity. I'm going to get ahead of myself here in just a minute, but listen, y'all ain't going nowhere. We're going to stay and eat. We're going to come back for preaching, so just hang around a little while. You don't pay me to preach. Let's just go ahead and get this out right here. You don't pay me to preach. You understand that? You don't pay me to visit the hospital. I am not an employee of this church. Some of you a little taken back, but just hang on a minute. God called me to the ministry, and I answer to Him first.
Amen.
Now, I'm a member of this church, and I'm subject to the will of this church just like every other member. I don't know of any relationship that is like the pastor-church relationship, that you're called upon to rebuke the same people that you're dependent upon to pay a tithe and an offering so you can get a check every week. How would you like that job? To get in your face and tell you where you're wrong, and then, oh, by the way, put your money in the plate, too, so I can feed my family this week. That's the uniqueness of this job. I don't know anything else like this job. But you don't pay me to preach anymore, and you pay me to pray, and you pay me to study. You support my ministry so that I'm free to do these things.
Amen.
You understand that? You support me and you support my family. You support the ministry so that I am able to preach, so I am able to prepare, so I am able to pray, and so on, so that I am able to pastor you all to have an impact or an influence in your life. That's what it's about. To please God, bring unity within the church family. Now, you cannot read Ephesians as in the same chapter, verses 4, 5, and 6, without seeing this word, one. Over and over and over again. Paul would write to the church at Ephesus and remind them, you're one in Christ. Be one in heart, one in mind, one in soul, one in purpose, one in will, one in desire. One. May God give me messages that will feed unity within this church body. And then he says, verse number 14, to help grow you up. I don't mean that to sound God condescending, but that's what it says. I'm not trying to be, because I've got some growing of my own to do. And so I don't say that to put you down, but verse 14, that we be henceforth no more children. Why did God give His church, His pastors, to help grow the sheep?
Amen.
To help grow them up, to mature them, edify them, to teach and instruct them the Word of God, which will sanctify them. Sanctify them, John 17, through thy word is truth. That is one of the chief purposes. And listen to me. As long as God gives me a mind to do it, when you come to this house, I promise I'm going to preach from this book.
Amen.
I'm not interested in psychology and all the things that go on in the minds of men and all that people. I'm interested in what this book has to say. This book and the words that are contained in this holy book are able to make you wise unto salvation. Here's what will feed the sheep. Here's what will grow you up. Here's what will teach you how to become what you should be in Christ. I don't have a whole lot of use for men who claim to be preachers but won't preach the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be mean, but I went to a Bible conference lately, and one of the men got up and preached and never even opened a Bible. Never even read a Bible verse. Man, that ain't feeding me.
Amen, brother.
Now, you're talking about getting me worked up. Now, that's getting me worked up. When the Lord was about to leave this earth, He looked at Simon Peter and asked him three times, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? You remember that?
Yeah.
And he said, well, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Lord, do you love? Simon Peter loves them. You know I love. Feed my sheep. You know what it is, the duty of the pastor, to feed the sheep. What's he to feed them? He's to feed them the good green Word of God.
Amen.
See, I'm getting more and more, I like a good textual, expository preaching. It may not be real flashy, and it may not may not catch everybody's attention like some things do, but you want to feed sheep, you got to feed them the Word of God.
Amen.
To instruct you. How are you going to mature? Not by me telling jokes and entertaining you. I had one of my teachers in school. She said, you're going to end up being a comedian. That's what she told me. What do you call them teachers that help you, career teachers, help you figure out what you... She said, you're going to be on the stage one day. Well, she's wrong. She's close, but she's wrong. I'm not up here to be a comedian. I like to do joke. I'm going to tell you something, though. We're standing here between heaven and hell.
Amen, brother.
And this is real. And what is the purpose of the pastor? To encourage you. You want to look at verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. Listen, some of God's children need to grow up.
Amen.
When I was a child, I thought as a child, and I spake as a child, and I behaved as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 13, if you're interested. Some of God's children need to grow up. Need to grow up in the things of God and put away some things. We do that through the preaching of the Word and through the study of the Word. Yeah. If you think my quitting, yeah, I've been warned. I got preacher friends always. If you think that my leaving the post office will keep me from preaching something, you got the wrong cat. I can tell you right now. If it comes a day that I'm scared to stand in the pulpit and preach something because of how you might react, it's time for me to leave.
That's right.
May grow up, mature the saints. And I want you to notice there's a central theme that runs through these passages. What is that central theme? It is Christ. That's what it is.
Amen.
How do you edify? How do you mature? How do you grow? How do you mend? It is Christ. In these passages, he talks about the body of Christ, the knowledge of the Son of God, the stature and the fullness of Christ, as Christ being the head of the body. It is all, and our preaching should all be about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what I preach on it. It should be about, in some way, should be pointing you towards a greater fellowship or relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how you grow saints. You show them how beautiful Jesus is, and you'd be crazy to live without Him. And why would you try? That's how you grow saints. These things, preaching Jesus Christ, praying for the saints, preparing or equipping you to do the work of the ministry. I will give you pastors according to my heart. Jeremiah 3:15, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. You know what God's ordained means? The primary responsibilities of the pastor is to tend the flock. I'm about to quit, but before I do, let me read something to you. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14 says, even so hath the Lord ordained. Isn't that pretty strong language? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel.
Amen.
Now that's In a perfect world, that's how it would be. You understand what that verse is saying? That what that's saying is those who preach the gospel, their main source of support should be from the ministry of the gospel.
Amen.
That's what that verse is saying. The Apostle Paul, he mended nets. And he worked and did some other things as a missionary. But he says very plainly that the primary support should come from the ministry of the gospel. And I trust and pray as I leave the post office, we all realize that. What happens when we all get serious about growing in Christ? And this is it. I'm closing with this. Verse 16. Just look. It's a big verse and it says a lot. And we're not going to dissect it all. But from whom the whole body fitly joined together. You want an interesting study? Study that. It talks about the tendons and everything within the body being compacted together in the way God designed it. Beautiful. And compacted by that which every joint supplieth, that's you and I, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part of the body. That's you and I. Each member is a unique part of the body. Making increase of the body unto the edifying, you read this with me, of itself in love. There's the ultimate goal, that the body grows itself through the work of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
That we preach in such a way, and we pray and prepare and plead with God that He would grow this body in love and unity and mature it so that the body just grows.
Amen.
And that's your desire? My dear friends, we can only imagine what will happen with God's way. What's the purpose of the pastor? Let's do things God's way. It prepares you to minister. It prepares you to engage this community. It equips the saints. It prepares you to love and serve Christ greater when we fulfill our God-given roles. We as a church family are as a city set upon a hill which cannot be hid. We are a sweet savor of Christ unto God. Now that's just some of the things. The Bible got some more to say, but that's all I'm going to give you for now about the purpose of the pastor. Now I'm not perfect. Come back this afternoon, I'll tell you more about that. I'm not perfect. But you're not either.
Amen.
But we've got some growing to do. Let's grow together.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that should be our... May God use us all for the edification of the saints. Are you saved today? Because I'm going to tell you, it's all about Jesus Christ. And having a relationship with Him and loving Him and embracing Him and for all that He's done, are you saved today? My goodness, all the preaching in the world might go in one ear and right out the other and never mean a thing, but let the Spirit of God get a hold of your heart and He'll change you. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll realize that some of the things of this world just don't mean, I'm going to use it again, a hill of beans. Just don't mean anything in comparison to eternal life in Christ.